I'd like to call this Council and Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present this evening, except for Councillor Butler.
Thank you. There is no addendum this evening, but and there's really only one announcement in it, and I wanted to make reference to the incident that's playing out across the river from Fort Erie, the loss of and disappearance of Buffalo Police Officer Craig Lehner last Friday afternoon. And there have been a number of agencies and municipalities that have been assisting the City of Buffalo to search for Officer Lehner. And the town of Fort Erie has two fire department boats which have been over there, and a number of our volunteer firefighters have been on the search for the last several days since Friday afternoon. And I know, Chief Melanson, you've been involved in some of the meetings in Buffalo with respect to the search, and I wonder if there were any comments that you wanted to say other than, once again, our volunteer firefighters have shown what a credit they are to this community. They're fine, fine individuals who continuously dedicate and commit themselves to others in need. Chief?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, we've been there since Friday. There was 22 organizations involved on the water on Friday night until almost midnight. And then we aided in search and rescue on Friday and into Saturday morning. Then we were used to manage traffic. It was a warm, nice day on Saturday, so there was a lot of boat traffic. So we managed traffic up and down the river to try to keep them away from the search zone. There's been a lot of focus on that search zone just because they believe that's where the diver probably is. But the water's so swift there with so much debris, logs, rocks, hundreds of shopping carts. It's crazy the amount of stuff that's in the water there. Come Saturday afternoon, New York PD came up with a special sonar device, and boat 6 is the right platform for that to be on. Powerful boat, but small, so that they were able to maneuver along the break wall on that side. So since Saturday night and into Sunday and then all day today, boat 6 was used primarily as the major search boat with sonar on it. With divers coming off other boats trying to find or visually identify anything that would have come up out of the sonar. I would like to say, like you, I am very, very proud of our volunteer firefighters and what they've done there. We've been getting accolades from all different sources. I was at a meeting today, and the commissioner of the Buffalo Police Department and the mayor thanked us for our contributions. And, you know, wanted to tell us that if there's any reason ever at all that we would need them again, we would be there. I also like to thank the citizens of Fort Erie. The amount of people that have dropped by, you know, dropping off coffee and way too many donuts and food, prayers, it's been remarkable, really, the outpouring from our community and how good that is.
Thank you very much, Chief. And when you say boat 6, are you referring to our station 6? Which is Crystal Beach?
Yes, we have two boats, one at Central Station and one in Crystal Beach at Station 6.
Thank you very much, and please continue to keep Council updated with respect to the progress on that matter.
I will.
And I should say that the flags here at the Town Hall are at half-mast. It's unusual for us to do that, but this is an exceptional situation. Those flags will remain at half-mast until this matter has been finalized. That takes us into disclosures of pecuniary interest. Councillor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Report number IS-35-2017, the tender for snow plowing. I see it's we're requested to approve Stevensville Lawn Service and the company I work with. We do some business with them. We're still working with them right now, so I'll declare a pecuniary interest. Thank you.
Okay. Any others? Madam Clerk, I have the same pecuniary interest to declare. My law firm does work for Stevensville Lawn Service, and so I will declare a conflict on that. There are a couple of upcoming public meetings. The first relates to a proposed official plan amendment and zoning changes for the South End Secondary Plan. That meeting will be held Monday, November the 6th, here in the Town Hall Council Chambers, starting at 6 p.m., and the information report for that will be available on Wednesday, November the 1st, 2017, on our website. Second meeting is with respect to a zoning bylaw amendment for property at 2555 Dominion Road and 327 Windmill Point Road North. Again, the public meeting will be Monday, November the 6th, 2017, here in the Council Chambers at 6 o'clock, and the information report will be available Wednesday, November the 1st, on our website. There are no public meetings this evening. There is a consent agenda. Can I have a motion to move the items in the consent agenda? Councillor Zanko, are there any questions or comments with respect to the reports in that agenda? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. CS 23-2017, they're asking for an increase in our budget from $10,000 to $29,000. I'm just wondering if the chief can give a little explanation as to why the difference. When I first read it,
yep,
it seemed like a lot. He did explain a little bit to me, but just for the people that are listening and the people that have read the agenda, I don't want them to be too alarmed at the increase. So
yep,
if you
absolutely
could explain.
Chief.
through you, Your Worship. When I was made aware of the project and what the cost was for the project and what it was budgeted for, I asked for an updated quote. And I don't know if there was a quote prior to this, but I asked for a quote from Talk Wireless on what the cost would be to put a backup radio system in that would meet the requirements similar to our main radio. And then what would it take for those backup radio and the primary radio to communicate with each other, so that if the primary went down, the backup would automatically switch over, and then an email would be sent or a method of notification would be sent where IT and the fire department would be notified that one of our radios has gone down. Now, these radios are for how we are dispatched. Our pager system and our radio system runs off these radios. The quotation that I got, plus the amount of money that is required to put our antenna up and get electrical to the room where we're going to put it in the Gibson Center, is the reason why the difference in the budget. I have no idea what the number, where it came from initially, but this is a budgetary number that I received from a company to get, that's the reason for the difference.
Councilor Lubberts? Any other councillors? On the same report, Mr. Jansen, I wonder if you could go to Appendix 1. I'm looking now at page 6 of that package, and I'm looking at page 2 of the appendix, page 6 of the total package. It talks about water meter replacement program, and I'm not sure that I follow that number or the number below that relative to adjustment to unbudgeted miscellaneous revenue. Can you explain that?
Yes, the total of $500,000 includes monies received from meter sales, so that allows us to spend the net amount of the $400,000 within the budget. So the total variance is just the smaller $319 amount.
But how do you arrive at $319?
The net amount purchased of $500,483 is greater than the $400,000 budget by $100,483. The amount immediately below that difference is the adjustment for the revenues. So the $100,483 less the $100,164 is the net amount that is still within budget in terms of the net expenditure on capital.
Thank you. And then just further down, the item with respect to Optimus Park soccer field lights, Is that a similar type situation?
Yes, in that case, it's a donation that was received to reduce that. So the exact amount of the difference in that case was related to donations, of which only the amount. I think the amount, the difference there was again related to that. I'd have to double check on that and
right,
get back to you.
It looks like the budget, and then there was a donation in that. I think I follow that now. The final question I had with respect to this particular report relates to the allocation that had been made to the Bowen Road Sanitary Sewer. And my question is it prudent for us to be taking that out because at some point that work is going to need to be done? What is the rationale behind your recommendation?
That project from the 2016 budget was included at the time due to a strategy we had to try and secure funding through a major federal program. So we were prepared to go with that project pending that federal grant. When that grant was not available or unsuccessful for the town, we decided it would be best to close it in that version of that submission because any future submission could be quite different from that and return the funds to the reserve until necessary.
Okay, thank you very much. And then I had a couple of questions for Mr. Brady with respect to the Waterfront Investment Program Agreement. So when do we anticipate construction might actually start with respect to the improvements and enhancements to the Bay Beach Park?
We will be putting out a tender very shortly. Once that tender has been received back and adjudicated and has been granted by council, we'll be immediately starting on the waterfront. So certainly this year.
Is there any anticipation that that may interfere with use of the beach next summer?
We do anticipate that there will be a need to identify a pathway through the construction area on the way to the beach. The beach itself should be fine, but there may be areas in the upper, which is currently a parking lot, in the upper areas that will be out of bounds to people throughout the summer.
Okay. And then the obvious, we'll need to change the name of the clerk who will be signing this agreement on behalf of the town.
Yes.
That's a moving target. If there are no other further questions, then I'll call the question with respect to the consent agenda items. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to infrastructure services, and that is Councillor Zanko.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Infrastructure services is now in session. We do have delegations this evening. I'd like to ask Mr. Lorenzo Nicodemo to come to the podium, who will provide us delegations regarding a request for reduction of speed limit for Stone Mill Road from Garrison to Dominion Road. Mr. Lorenzo, could you please give us your address? Thank you. Turn on the mic. Thank you, Mr. Nicodemo. Yes, we're ready.
Hey, I've tried to give you some background. Typical neighborhood. We have two homes with horses. Almost every home has at least a dog. Seniors, we have a resident, 92 years old. Homes with children, retirees. We even have a church and a cemetery. No sidewalks, no shoulders on Stone Mill. Not unlike most roads in that area. not in any worse or better condition in terms of the physical road than any other road. There's a lot of pedestrians on that road going to the either down to the lake or going to the trail. Lots of cyclists, children, joggers, wildlife, horseback riders. We also have school buses, construction vehicles, tractor trailers, regular vehicles, motorhomes, towing campers, all kinds of regular vehicles, just your typical road. The problem with that road is that it's 70 kilometers an hour. The very back page, I took a petition, and it's been signed by 100% minus one person. They did not refuse to sign it. I couldn't get a hold of them. That's the estate. Couldn't find anybody. I left voicemails, and I rang their bell a few times on the outside of the road. but there was nobody home. But without exception, everybody else signed the petition. And everybody has their stories, and I can tell you that it was no difficulty in getting these signatures. Everybody said it's about time somebody took a look at the speed that people are racing down this road. Last March, I requested with the traffic committee, a speed reduction. They conducted a study on June 21st, and I received the report back on August 30th. On the second page, I've actually included, this is right from the email I received from the committee. The long and the short of it is that they denied the request to reduce the speed limit, and that the Niagara Regional Police would increase enforcement with data collected. I wrote back to the committee really kind of confused as to why they had declined a recommendation for traffic calming in a residential neighborhood. And the request, the answer I got was, we'll send you a technical request. And I did get the technical request, which is at the very bottom of the second page. And it says that the technical recommendation was reduce the speed limit. The committee did not support the recommendation in part because the limit reduction was not supported by the Niagara Regional Police. So there's two things that I found very confusing. One was that it was not supported by the Niagara Regional Police. And two, in their first answer, they said that reducing the speed from 70 would not be a deterrent because everybody's coming off of Highway 3 at 80 kilometers an hour. So I was concerned. So if you flip to your third page, you'll see there's a comparative map that I did. I tried to do my homework on this to make your life easier. So I drew up a comparative map. I shouldn't say that. I found one other. I do my homework. I drove around a lot to find all this. There's one other road that I found is 70 kilometers, and that's Ott Road. Everything else that I could find is either 50 or 60 kilometers an hour. There are no 70-mile-an-hour roads where there's any kind of residential. So if you look in terms of the exiting highway, we get 80 kilometers an hour. There's not one road that runs south off Highway 3 that is 70 kilometers an hour. So my question is, if you have to exit Stone Mill at 70, why do you have to exit Bernard at 50? Gorham Road is 60 south of Highway 3, and there's no houses. So when you're exiting off Highway 3 onto Gorham Road South, why is it 60? Bernard Road is 50 all the way down. Rose Hill is 50 all the way down. I drove across Nye Street this morning from Stone Mill to Bernard. There's very few houses. It's 50 kilometers an hour. I drove down Bernard, with the exception of three houses at the end of Bernard near Dominion. There's no houses. It's 50 kilometers an hour, and there's no passing lanes. So my neighbor, who helped me collect signatures, said to me, it looks like we're kind of like the lost street that nobody's ever paid attention to. And when you see 70 kilometers an hour, believe me, you got to live there. They don't go 70 kilometers an hour. You can hear them coming off of Dominion Road, and you can hear them gearing up, and they know that on Stone Mill, it's 70 kilometers an hour. And they pass. They pass all the time. Dominion Road reduces to 50 at Bernard when you're going eastbound, or westbound, sorry. So it goes from 80 to 50. If you're going the other way on Bernard, it drops from 80 to 60 at Rose Hill, and then 50 at Buffalo Road. Highway 3 reduces to 60 at Rose Hill. Now it's 50 because of the school is there. And beyond that, it's 60 kilometers. So here's a five-lane road with shoulders, with sidewalks at least on one and sometimes on both sides of the road, and they're going 60 kilometers. But for some reason on Stone Mill, it's 70 kilometers an hour. So I'm confused. It doesn't make sense to me. There's a lot of inconsistencies that I can see. But more importantly, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. If you drive down Stone Mill, you'll find that it's no different than any other road in the area, but cars come zooming along. And to add insult to injury, there's four speed signs, one at either end that says 70, and then there's one right before the church that says 70 kilometers an hour, and the lane changes from no passing to passing lanes right in front of all the homes. So the study that I got back dealt only with traffic counts and with compliance. It didn't address the issue as to whether 70 was the proper speed limit to begin with. And my contention and all my neighbors' contention is that 70 is not the right speed limit. The report that the police gave us said that the or that the committee gave me said that the speed limit between Nye Road and Dominion was a 68 average, but it was 92 between Nye Road and Highway 3. 92 is 22 kilometers over the posted speed limit. And those two people that live on that section of road, and granted, that section of the road is not highly populated. There's only two houses. But I'll tell you, those two guys that live there were the most adamant about the people coming down that road asked. Okay. The lowering the speed limits, again, in the report said it will not affect driver behavior. Since they're exiting Highway 3 at 80 kilometers an hour, if that's the case, then why lower any speed limit on any road if you're not trying to impact driver behavior by actually posting a lower limit? To me, if you come off that road and it says 60, by the time you get to Nye Road, you're actually at the stop sign. The minute you know it's 70 past that, you're going to speed up again, and that's what happens all the time. As I said, the speed limit's inconsistent with all surrounding areas. Given the density of population, the amount of non-vehicular traffic between Nye and Dominion Road, the current configuration of speed and passing markers creates a dangerous and unsafe environment. Today, I also drove across, just to give another example, I drove across Birdie Street in front of the racetrack, four lanes, 60 kilometers an hour. And I'm obsessed. Every time I drive now, I look at the speed limit and I go, why is our street? And I'm only concerned of our street because they come down here really fast. And with all due respect to the police, they're there for a period of time. But we live there all the time. And you're sitting in your yard and I'm out cutting the grass and you just see them come all the time. All the time. It's just a matter before something happens. And I don't want to tell you how many of the residents told me how many dogs they had killed or hit. And you're going 70 plus. And the passing, it's crazy. I mean, just last week I was trying to turn into my driveway. I came off Dominion Road. I signaled left. And as I'm turning, I look in my mirror and this guy comes barreling by me on the left-hand side. And my wife said, oh my God, like we came that close. It's known. One of the residents said to me, that his friends come over and they go, why do they go fast in front of your house? And he lives on Nye Road. And he himself was commenting about the speed that they travel on that road. So essentially, in a nutshell, I'm not going to bore you too much, but that's the way we see it. Our suggestion, our recommendation is that the engineer had recommended 60 before. I don't know why that was declined. I never really got a good answer to that. But I think we would be satisfied if from Dominion to Nye Road it was 60, and then beyond that it was 50. The other thing we'd like to see is that the passing lanes being marked out. Because to put it at 50 and then allow people to pass, you know they're going to go over 50. And it's not the kind of road that you want to pass on. I don't even see how people can come down there at 70. I drive it every day, and to me 70 is way too fast. So that's where we're at. And I gave you a map so you can study that if you like. And all the residents are happy to sign the petition. They all wanted to come tonight, but I told them there wasn't enough seats in here. So, by the way, we even got a signature from the church. So we're dealing with a pretty high power here.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Nicodemo. And I do want to point out that Councillor Butler, who's not here this evening, but she has been actively seeking a reduction as well. And from my understanding, she has a motion coming forward. She's given notice of motion in this regard. Does any member of council have questions, Mayor Redicott?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Nicodemo, for your presentation. And I see you're as astute at checking out speed limits as I am. There are a couple that are actually higher, but we won't get into that.
Okay.
those are the roads that I take. After this report was completed, the traffic coordinating committee met, and the decision was not to reduce the speed limit. There was a suggestion that there should be more policing. Has that happened? Is it apparent to you that there's been more police presence on the roads?
I've seen some, in fairness, yes. I saw 2 days in a row, they were sitting right beside the trail, which is 50 kilometers on anyway. I don't know if they were doing speed traps at that, but they were there for a few hours. I don't know my neighbor. He lives right across from the church.
I guess my observation would be that if the speed limit is reduced, it's more effective if the police actually are out there to at least enforce it once it is reduced. That's what really has a positive impact on driver behavior.
I agree, and if it was reduced, there's a revenue-generating opportunity because, I'll tell you, if they spend any time out there like the residents do, I was really surprised. I got to tell you, when I knocked on the doors, people were going, where do I sign? It's about time. They just blow by here all. I mean, literally, everybody was, you know, unhappy with the speed limit along that street. So
thank you for your very positive approach to this.
And Councilor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just a couple things. Mr. Nicodema, you mentioned that you saw the police near the trail.
Yes.
But you're talking the Friendship Trail? And the speed limit is 50 there?
South of Dominion, it's 50 kilometers.
Yeah.
And there's no houses there. Again, it's all the inconsistency that I don't... I know there's a park, and there's a few houses at the end, but on the left-hand side, it's all bush.
Yeah.
And the trail is there, and I'm glad it's 50 there. But what's wrong with us?
Yeah, no, that's why I'm just a little confused.
I saw them sitting down there.
The traffic committee, committee says that they're going to ask the police for more presence, but you're asking for the reduction between Garrison Road and Dominion Road, and they're sitting over on by the trail. And I'm just wondering, why are they by the trail if this is where the problem is?
I use the trail every day, as does my neighbor, and we both commented. They've been there for 2 days. I don't know what they were doing. They were parked, literally their cars were parked right at the trail. There was a lady police officer that we saw on both days. I don't know if they were doing speed traps. It didn't look like it to me, but I thought to myself, this is 50 kilometers already here. I'm not knocking the police, but to me the issue was never, it's like saying it's 100 kilometers an hour and nobody goes that, so it's okay. To me, the issue is we believe it's too high to begin with, at least in comparison to what we see everywhere else.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll be asking staff some more questions under new business, so I'll follow up on that. Thank you.
Does any other member of council have any questions? Councilor Becerra?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for being here tonight, and thank you not only for coming with a concern, but also with solutions and information to back up your position. I know it's greatly appreciated. My question goes to a note that the committee has spoke about, and I just wanted to get your feeling, is that the minimum maintenance standards that we utilize for our asphalt, our paving, as well as our snow clearing in the wintertime, is usually tied to the speed limits on the roads. And if we were going to do a speed reduction from 70 down to 60 or 50, it would drop the class identification of the road and lead to lesser standards for winter control operations. Is that something that you're comfortable with? To achieve the goal of the speed reduction?
Of course.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're aware of
anybody else that.
Yeah.
Because I saw what they wrote about the number
the classes of the roads.
Class of roads. And when I wrote back, I never got an answer on that. So, but absolutely, to slow the traffic down so they plow a little less.
Okay. I just wanted to bring that to light and make sure that had come across to your attention. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Councilor McDermott?
Are they basically pretty much everybody on the street?
There's only one I couldn't get. That was the big estate. I think his name is Rice, Victor Rice. I went to both entrances a number of times, and I pressed the buzzer. Nobody answered, and I even got his voicemail. Nobody called me. I was told that they're away a lot of the time, that they don't live there full-time. Their frontage isn't on... I mean, they have a lot of frontage on Stone Mill, but their houses are set way back in behind. So I'm sure they would have cooperated from what I was told, but I just couldn't reach them. But other than that, I should have got all their phone numbers. I thought about that after. But this is literally by house number. And my friend, Yost, he got a few for me as well. But this is everybody on the street.
Thanks very much.
From Dominion Road to, we didn't go south of Dominion Road because it's already 50 down there. So.
Thank you.
Any further questions? I actually have a question, and I'm wondering if Mr. Walsh, you could perhaps, while Mr. Nicodemo is here, you could just further clarify and give an explanation as to the difference in road classes. I know Councillor Becerra had mentioned that perhaps less snow plowing, but is there any other considerations that the residents should be mindful of?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the road class also refers to pothole repair, inspection procedures, shoulder maintenance, pretty much everything we do to maintain a road is affected by the road class. The lower the road class, the less maintenance it will receive.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Walsh.
But can I have a question?
So sure.
Are you suggesting that the higher the road class, the faster people go? Like Highway 6 or Dominion Road is 60 kilometers. I know it's a regional road, but it's 60 kilometers. So it's a suggestion that if it's a higher class, people can go faster on it?
Mr. Welsh, did you want to answer that?
Road class is also set by not only speed, but also traffic volume. And Dominion Road is a higher class primarily due to traffic volume, not speed.
That makes sense.
Still not sure I understand why Stone Mill is different than Bernard or Gorham Road.
Well, I think what I'm understanding, Mr. Welsh, saying is you have a higher road class based on the speed limit. If you were to reference Dominion Road, for example, they have a higher road class based on the number of individuals using the road, so traffic would essentially bump that up. Is that correct, Mr. Welsh?
Yes, that's correct, Madam Chair.
But Stone Mill wouldn't necessarily have the same volume as Dominion, but you have a higher speed limit, which entitles you to a higher class road.
Well, I can tell you there's many potholes on Stone Mill as there are on every other road I drive on, so.
No, there is. I just wanted to make sure residents were also aware that, you know, it isn't just snow plowing. There is a lot of considerations with lowering the cost of the road. Okay, if no one has anything further, then thank you very much for your presentation. It was very informative.
Thank you very much.
That brings us to reports. Can I get a mover for IS 35-2017, award of tender for snow plowing of town facility parking lots? And I also want to point out that Councillor Lubberts and Mayor Redekop have declared conflict on this report. Councillor McDermott, does any member of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? That report carries. Are there any new business inquiries? Councillor Lewitz?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just want to follow up on what the delegate was talking about with Stone Mill Road. And when I'm looking at the chart that he has put together, and it was pretty informative to me, and, I mean, we all travel these roads on a regular basis. I don't know how many of the other members of council do, but I'm on all of these roads on a regular basis due to the, you know, the type of work that I do. And I don't know that Bernard Road or Rose Hill Road is actually any different of a road than Stone Mill Road. Gorham Road maybe, because Gorham Road is paved. And I heard a lot of talk about the road classifications and our winter control, and you're going to get a lower road classification, but I don't know that we get very many complaints from people on Bernard Road or Rose Hill Road about our winter control and snow plowing and clearing the roads. So I don't know that these residents really are going to be affected all that much. But I guess my question would be to staff, and I guess Mr. Walsh can answer this here, is what's the criteria that we use for speed on roads other than road classification? I mean, when we're looking at Bernard Road at 50, what's the difference in the road itself and the conditions of that road and the number of people that live on that road compared to Stone Mill Road?
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Madam Chair. When the road class itself has nothing to do with setting a speed limit. A speed limit is set based on engineering design standards. A road is designed to a certain speed limit. There are factors of safety involved in that that design. With respect to Bernard and Rose Hill, as opposed to Stone Mill, I think there are significant differences. Stone Mill, especially between Garrison and Nye, I believe there's one or two driveways that encroach into the road and nothing else, whereas Bernard and Rose Hill significantly throughout have a significantly greater amount of residential houses. The primary houses on Stone Mill are below or south of Dominion, whereas Rose Hill and Bernard is throughout. That is the difference in the speed limits on those roads.
Councillor Lubberts.
So the amount of driveways that we have coming onto the road determines the speed limit? I mean, I'm looking at Nye Road, and I can take it an I road between Point Avenue Road and Garrison Road, I think there's maybe four driveways. All right, yeah, you're right. Yeah, four driveways. And it's 50 kilometers. And, I mean, I don't know that just from sitting here and listening to the delegate and looking at the chart and just putting everything through my mind, I don't know that all the criteria is proportioned to the speed limits. Definitely, we have one road here at 70 kilometers, and if it's the driveways and the road classification doesn't matter, then I don't know that it would bother the residents that their classification was just a little bit lower. They're still going to get the same amount of winter control. I don't know that we're going to reduce winter control. The roads, the plows go up and down the road. The potholes get filled, get fixed. Everything gets done. I don't recall of any complaints that have been brought to council. I haven't seen any delegates in here. So I'm just confused as to, looking at this chart, it doesn't make sense that the speed limit would be 70 on Stone Mill Road.
Well, and Councillor Lubert's, Councillor Butler did bring forward notice of motion, so we will have the time to debate the matter or ask for further questions once that motion is coming forward. Did you have anything further? Are there any other comments or inquiries? Seeing none, that brings us to the business status report. Are there any questions regarding the report? Seeing none, I will hand the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. That takes us to Corporate and Community Services. I'll hand the chair to Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate and Community Services is now in session. Tonight we have no presentations and delegations. We'll move right on to 9.2, which is reports. CAO-10/LC13-2017. Land Matters, September 28, 2017, Land Committee Meeting Minutes. Can I have a mover for that? Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. So that report is on the floor with a recommendation that Council receives the September 28, 2017 Land Committee Meeting Minutes attached as Appendix 1, and that Council approves the recommendation tasks as outlined in Appendix 2. Comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That's approved. Moving on to 9.3, new business inquiries. Are there any new business or inquiries anyone wishes to bring forward? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm going to bring this up under corporate services simply because planning and development services doesn't have new business. And it says there's budget considerations. But I just wanted to bring forward the fact that I will be bringing notice of motion next week in reference to a report that Councillor McDermott had asked for back in January at CDS 08-2016. And I am going to be bringing forward a recommendation as notice of motion that does have budget implication for additional manpower. And some of the residents that have brought some concerns forward are here this evening. So I know that we can't waive the rules of procedure this evening, but I will be bringing that notice of motion for next week.
Thank you. Duly noted. Are there any other new business inquiries? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll raise this now only because fire services falls under corporate and community, and same concern as Councillor Zanko, PDS doesn't have new business. I'm hoping that once a permanent clerk is installed, we can get back to having new business inquiries under each business subdivision, regardless of what meeting we're at. But I just want to raise that I've had a couple concerns on an item that I brought forward a couple years ago, and I'm thinking maybe it's time for some targeted discussion or enforcement between yourself and our bylaw department, and it's individuals parking in the fire lanes at the Sobeys Plaza, the Walmart Plaza, the No Frills Plaza, and not just parking for 30 seconds to let somebody in or out, but permanently parking sometimes in the lane, halfway on the curb, halfway off, So I just want to raise that. It seems to be reaching a critical mass again for people reminding me that it's something we should be looking at. We did do a targeted blitz a couple years ago. It did seem to be effective because the cashiers at No Frills told me people were coming in and complaining, and the cashiers told them you shouldn't be parking in the fire lane. So it seemed to have calmed down, but I'm hoping that we could put that on the radar screen once again.
Chief, and then I'll come to His Worship.
Through you, Mr. Chair. We certainly are cognizant of that, and we have been working with bylaw at schools with this issue, but I certainly have, since I've become chief, had my share of kicking people out of Walmart and No Frills for parking there. So I will talk to bylaw and see if we can't do something with that.
Thank you, Chief. Your Worship?
Yeah, I was just going to say that if this is an ongoing problem or if it's starting to develop a critical mass again, we should be on top of it right away, and I'm sure the CAO will pursue that as well.
Thank you. Councillor Passera, you
all.
Still have the floor.
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other new business inquiries? Okay, seeing none, I'll move on. Oh, go ahead, Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I don't know if it's a query or just a comment. I noticed tonight when we're all talking here, the audio sounds a little different. And I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this, but it sounds like there's a lot more bass in the audio tonight than normal. And I have a little bit of a problem with one of my ears. I have a perforated eardrum, and the tone is a little bit difficult for me to hear some of the conversation real clear. And I'm just wondering if we can get IT to maybe adjust it a little bit. The way it used to be was perfect for me. And I'm just wondering, I don't know if anybody else has noticed the difference, but I definitely have, and it's...
I know that Mr. Davis gave us an update on where they were as far as with the AV and turning over, upgrading the system in here, but Mr. Wall, Mr. Cookett.
Yeah, through you, Chair, to Councilor Lubberts. As you can see, we have the new cameras installed along the perimeters and new speakers, and that's why you're hearing the difference in sound. It almost sounds like an echo at this point, but the hardware is installed. It's now doing the programming, so I'll make note of that and let the IT know, and they can probably adjust the bass.
About that bass. Anything else, Councilor Lubberts? Less bass, yeah. Okay, seeing no other new business or inquiries, we'll move on to 9.4, the business status report. Are there any comments or questions on the business status report? Seeing none, I'll close corporate and community services and turn the chair back to His Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. That takes us then to planning and development services. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Planning and Development Services is in session. No presentations or delegations. Our first report is PDS 58-2017, proposed signed bylaw recommendation, and this was postponed from the September 18th, 2017 Council in Committee meeting. Do we need a mover when it's been postponed, or is that already on the floor, Madam Clerk? Okay. So that recommendation is, there are two recommendations, actually, so I'd be looking for a member of Council to put forward one of them. So option A would be that we approve the proposed signed bylaw as is. The proposed recommendations all encompassing. Option B would be that we approve the amendment of the proposed signed bylaw in accordance with the recommendations contained in report CDS 58-2017. And Mr. Brady, if you could refresh our memory, that would basically be all of the proposed recommendations, but the portable sign aspects would remain the same.
That's correct.
Councillor Zanko, what would you like to move?
I'd like to move option two, please.
Option B?
Yes, B.
Okay, so option B is on the floor for comments or questions from council. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. When I was reading the report, I thought that the signs for the subdivisions that were draft plan approved was an amendment. Was I wrong on that? Is that part of option two?
Mr. Brady, where has the changes to the subdivision signs been encapsulated? Is that already referred to in the proposed recommendations, or does that have to be a further amendment?
To Councilor Lubert, there have been changes made to it to ensure that signs can be put up at an earlier date, and those would meet the requirements of the group that brought forth the motion. We're not recommending that they go up at the draft approval stage because there would be far too many signs up and there's far too much time between the draft approval stage and when a number of the subdivisions are actually being built. So what we're recommending is that once the engineering is done and it's submitted, doesn't have to be finalized, just submitted, at that point in time, the developer would have the option to put up a sign.
And that change, Mr. Brady, is more in favor with what the developers have been asking for versus what we were previously allowing them to do.
That's correct.
Councilor Luberts?
Yeah, I guess my question is that is part of option two? That's
yes.
Included in option
two? Okay, that's right. Currently on the floor, so those changes are already built into what we're discussing.
Yeah, okay.
Further comments or questions, Your Worship?
Thank you. So there are, as I calculate, two changes only then to the bylaw, one that relates to development signs and one that relates to portable signs. Is that where we're going?
I believe there's other additions for items that were not previously encapsulated, such as flag signs. There's been changes to billboard sizes, light intensities for LED signs. There's been a number of upgrades, but the two that have drawn the most interest have been the developer signs and the portable signs.
So option A would have been Appendix 1, which is a revised bylaw.
Yes.
But we are going with option two.
Which is the revised bylaw minus any changes to the portable signs. All of that would stay the same as it currently is.
Well, I'm not sure that that's what option B says, but I wonder if we could get clarification on that.
Sure. Mr. Brady?
Option B is that the sign bylaw would be approved as submitted with the exception that the section on the portable sign bylaw would remain the same as it is today.
Your Worship.
So if I look at portable signs in the report, it provides four options, one of which is staff's recommendation for number one, which is changes to the regulations as proposed in the draft sign bylaw are to remain the same. Is that what Mr. Brady just said?
Which report are you referring to, Mayor Redekop? CDS 58, 2017?
I believe he's referring to page 4 in that report. And in that report, there are a number of options on dealing with portable signs, which would give a council with a further range of possibilities. And the one that my understanding is on the table is to stay with the current bylaw regulations regarding portable signs, which has been identified as option 4.
Option 4, okay. But the other ones are there if council wish to.
Correct. These are items that people have brought up and discussed with us, and so we wanted to provide a full range of options for council.
Okay.
Just for clarification, if we go with option B, there will be no change to portable signs in any new bylaw.
Correct.
So then looking at the proposed new bylaw, I see that the definition for banner sign has been removed, but there's still banner signs permitted in the bylaw. Do we not have a definition for banner signs?
Mr. Stevenson?
For you, Chair, to the Mayor, there is a definition of flag signs, which are banner signs.
Flag signs takes the place of banner signs?
So then should we not be removing the reference to banner signs in any other part of this bylaw? In other words, where the words banner signs show up, shouldn't they be deleted?
Banner signs are now classed as a flag sign.
I get that. But if we have banner signs still in the bylaw and no definition for banner sign, seems to me that it's overly complicated. Shouldn't we just remove banner sign and refer to them only as flag signs?
It has been removed from the...
It has been removed from the definitions, but there is a reference someplace else in the bylaw because that's why I'm raising this.
If there are any banner signs, it'll be removed. there may be some misunderstanding, because what we do is, for example, on page 7, you'll see in the middle, it says banner sign, it's in red, and there's a line through it, which is simply our way of saying that's a change that's going to occur.
Right. I understand that. There was someplace else that I read in the bylaw a reference to banner sign. I'll locate it, and I'll advise staff. The area that I also had some interest in was the extent of engineering that's required for some of these signs. It's not just billboard signs, but there are other signs that do require engineering. I wonder if we could just have an overview of that, Chair.
Sure. Mr. Stevenson, can you fill us in as to which signs require engineered drawings?
The heights have changed in the eyes of the signs, and it was felt by the chief building official that it would be better asked for engineered drawings for some of the signs over a certain height, to buildings fascia signs and signs overhanging sidewalks as well.
And are all of those new to the current bylaw? Or?
No, they're all current in the current bylaw. There's just been some...
Okay. So as an example, a ground sign which exceeds 60 square feet has to be designed by and constructed under the supervision of a professional engineer. So that's a sign that would be... 6 by 6.5, you have to have an engineer.
That's what we're recommending, yes.
Is that based on wind load, Mr. Stevenson? What's the thought process behind that?
That would partially be based on wind load and the location of the more of a technical area, which I'm not best to ask somebody like Mr. Jennings.
I wonder if we would have many signs that would exceed 60 square meters, many ground signs. Would we know?
Mr. Brady is shaking his head.
No, many of them are not that size. Most of them are smaller, at least to date.
Right.
The one across the street, which is being built, is much larger and obviously needed an engineer to deal with that for the high school.
And then the other clarification that I was wondering about is the reference to these V signs. Reference to 90 degrees. If it's more than 90 degrees, inner angle, I believe, it's considered to be one surface.
That is correct.
What's that look like? Help me visually.
Trying to think of one that we have in the town, actually.
How about if you had a piece of paper and you held it up and showed us what a...
Well, that would be a 90 degree.
Outside, the part that's facing us would be considered to be one sign.
That would be two-faced. Anything from the 90...
To a 180, yeah.
Since you're having difficulty with anything coming to mind, I don't suppose we have a lot of those. I don't recall too many of those.
There was a V sign across the street before the school was built. They had built it as a V sign to talk about the upcoming school. That's the closest I can reflect on.
And that would have required a permit?
Yes.
Those are my questions, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Anybody else, comments or questions before I go back to Councillor Lubberts? Seeing that, Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just want to follow up on Mayor Redekop's comments on the banner signs. I think what he's referring to maybe is just above the red text on page 2. Banner signs is crossed out. Just above that, advertising device. It says facilities or events right near the end. And it says includes flags, banner signs, pendants, and lights. So I'm assuming banner signs is going to be gone. That will be removed. Is that correct?
That is
this is all under definitions.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So banner signs would be removed from...
Any notation to banner sign, yes, will be removed. Okay. Seeing no more comments or questions, the one thing I did want to bring to Council's attention, in addition to the fact that portable signs will remain the same, the intent of some of the portable sign regulations being proposed by staff was to try to convince individuals to get out of the portable sign rental business and go towards permanent signs or pole signs. And if I could ask Mr. Stevenson, could you just enlighten us to what would it take to convert a portable sign into what we would deem as a permanent sign?
What it would take, Chair, would be that the sign would be physically attached to the ground, whether it be on a concrete base or whether it would be anchored to the ground with a chain and some concrete weight attached to that. Something that staff would consider it to be a more of a permanent sign than just being able to be picked up and moved around the property.
And from a permitting perspective, the permit for a permanent sign would be one time, and that would be good for life. It would not be an annual renewal such as we do with portable signs right now.
That is correct. At the moment, it's $112 per year. Sorry, $112 one-time fee. And at present, if the bylaw goes, then portable signs are it's $50, and you want to renew your sign.
Okay. So that is the intent of staff, is to get people to shift away from the portable signs because they do blow over. It does take a staff time. And from a business owner's perspective, it probably is in their best interest to go to a permanent sign. So I'm hoping that maybe we could do some promotion at some point as to what it involves, because I think when this first came to light, there was a lot of outcry as to people and their thoughts as to what a permanent sign was. And I don't really think that it was best dictated or explained that it's not really removing the portable sign and putting something brand new in. It's simply a matter of making your portable sign permanent. And I'm hoping that we can kind of get that word out so we can accomplish two goals. One is a desire of staff to stop dealing with complaints and concerns related to the portable signs, but also to kind of assuage any fears the business owners have as to what we're trying to do. And in that regard, for council's knowledge, at some point, once I figure out the wording with staff, I would like to bring a notice of motion forward that would look at waiving the application and inspection fees for any business owner that currently has a portable sign that would look to move it to a portable sign. So it kind of accomplishes what staff are trying to do, but eliminates that expense. And like I said, in the long run, better for the business owner. They're not paying us an annual fee anyways. Less time and resource management on staff side. So hopefully we can kind of find a common ground there to still continue in the direction that staff are trying to go in this issue. So having said that, all in favor of option B.
Can I just ask one more question?
Yeah, absolutely. Your Worship.
Just to go back to the beginning with respect to the new development signs. So I don't really see much of a change in what the developer was asking was for something that would permit them to advertise a plan of subdivision prior to application for final approval. Have old plan of subdivision signs that are required to be posted that sit up in this town for years and years. Minion Road, I don't know how long the Jetmar one was up before it finally probably fell over. So I don't understand why problem with us letting these developers advertise, even if we put some type of time limit on it. If they put up a sign after a draft approval was given, has to be removed in a year, or there was some type of fee paid. I guess my question is, why couldn't we go down that road?
Mr. Brady, could you just refresh us as to what it was and what it is now, and then His Worship's question regarding timing and implementation?
As it is right now, a developer is not permitted to put up a sign offering lots for sale until the draft, until it is a registered plan of subdivision, which means they have their MOEs in place, they have gone through the registry office and all of that. What developers are doing is they want to do pre-sales on subdivisions that they're moving forward with. A good example is the Jetmar development that has sat around for many years, and now it's been bought over by a newer developer who will probably be coming in looking for some modifications to it to make it work. But nonetheless, if it had signs up saying lots for sale for the last 15 years, it really would have been not appropriate and not accurate, because they cannot sell lots until the time they're registered. So we looked for a compromise. We looked at what other municipalities are doing, and we said, once a developer has actually made the commitment to do their engineering, that is, they've gone out, they've hired an engineer, they've done some work, and they've submitted it to us, therefore that it's clear that that subdivision is going to move forward. It's going to take some time because it takes about 9 months these days for the Ministry of the Environment to approve things and a few other odds and sods. But nonetheless, once they do that, they've made that commitment and they can put up, if the bylaw is approved this evening, they can put up their for sale signs at that moment in time. Those for sale signs will not, in my opinion, look like the ones that we use for draft plans of subdivision. These will be artsy signs that will be there as a marketing tool, which is what they should be at that point in time. They'll probably have phone numbers and email addresses and maybe even places to tweet in terms of encouraging the marketing. We talked to the developers about that at the developers roundtable. They certainly thought that was a vast improvement and it would meet the needs that they have today in the marketplace. So we thought it's a good compromise. We think it fits. Therefore, that's what we're recommending.
Your Worship.
So by adopting option B, we're actually adopting recommendation 2 under that heading, which is that the signs can be put up when an application of final subdivision or condominium plan approval has been made. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Your Worship. Seeing nothing further, all in favor? So option B is carried. Thank you, Mr. Stevenson. Moves us to PDS 70-2017, Proposed Zoning Bylaw Amendment, Peacebird Subdivision 397 Garrison Road and 0 Louisa Street, under Jansen Consulting. Thank you, Councillor Zanko. Comments or questions regarding the recommendation that we approve the amendments to the Town Zoning Bylaw Number 129-90, as detailed in Appendix 4 of Report Number PDS 70-2017 for a portion of the lands known as Peacebridge Subdivision, and further Council authorizes staff to prepare the necessary bylaw. And this is on the heels of the public meeting not too long ago. Comments or questions? Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just going back to the public meeting, there was some discussion with Council, and looking at the report on page 4 of 10, I see staff is recommending that we continue making the amendment to allow for all the lots to be 465 square meters. And if I can remember correctly, at the public meeting, everybody seemed to be in favor of just approving the 4 lots. And that's my understanding was we asked staff to bring that back as just the 4 lots is what we would be willing to approve. So I would like to make an amendment that just to approve the minimum lot area 465 square meters for lots 14, 55, 56, and 60. And to permit the lot coverage of 45%. I think that's what they were asking for. So.
Okay. Yeah, Councilor Lubberts, whatever we say as comments or from the public is just that, it's comments. Staff still bring back their proposed recommendation, and tonight is the night to make any of those amendments. Mr. Brady, do you have any comments on Councilor Lubberts' amendments?
No, I recall the discussion that occurred at the public meeting. You may wish to look at page 9 in the report under alternatives, and you'll note that the first paragraph there, I think, captures what council had discussed but had not put in motions at the time. And if council so desires, they can simply select that alternative.
Councilor Lubberts, does that alternative meet what you have in mind?
Well, I think what I want to see is that we're just giving the change to the 4 lots. Now, the developer was here, and he said that they didn't have any intentions of using any of the lots at the 465 square meters, and that he was going to continue on with the 410, but it was these 4 specific lots that needed to be changed. And I can agree with that. I can agree with the 4 lots that he's looking for. But I don't know that I want to change the whole subdivision to 465 square meters. And that discussion is what was on the floor of that public meeting from council. And from what I gathered, and I was listening to the other councilors, and
everybody more or less agreed that the four lots is what the developer was asking for.
Okay. And so you have an amendment on the floor. So let's.
Yeah, I don't know that the alternative covers just those four lots, but if that covers just the four lots, I'm good with that. But just for clarification,
we'll ask Mr. Brady.
We're only amending the four lots. That's.
Yep. Mr. Brady, the alternative just speaks to those four lots.
Correct. And if you look further, Appendix 3, you'll see mapping, which identifies those four lots, specifically 14, 56, 55, and 60 on the mapping.
Okay. So, Councillor Lubberts, then your amendment would reference the alternative in the reports versus trying to come up with new language.
Yes.
Okay. So speakers to Councillor Lubert's amendment. Your Worship.
Yeah, just for clarification, why do we need to change anything other than those four lots? I think that's what Councillor Lubert's is asking, and I think the alternative calls really for a site-specific zoning for all of the lots, some with the 510 square meters and some with only 465 square meters. Is that... It would be a change for all the lots, wouldn't it?
Mr. Brady?
No. The wording in the alternative is to implement that change on the lots, which are those four lots we've talked about. The way it's described is lot coverage for one-story dwellings on lots with lot area of 510 square meters or greater, and on a second site-specific, those permit for 45%. So this goes on to say, and a minimum lot area of 45 for the four lots in the subject lands that are currently deficient in lot area. So what it does is it identifies those four lots that, and they will have a site-specific zoning on them, which will permit them to operate with the smaller amount of area and the greater amount of coverage.
So this talks of two site-specific zonings, one for ones with 510 square meters and ones for less. So I'm not sure why we would need to change, have anything relative to the lots that have 510 square meters, because they're already covered. So why would we need to change that?
Mr. Brady?
When we bring the bylaw back to council for approval, it will be clear in the bylaw that the zoning is changing on those four lots, and that what is changing on those four lots are the two conditions which are outlined in the alternatives.
Okay.
So will there be any changes to the remaining whatever number of lots?
No, there's no need to.
Because they're currently properly for what the developer wants to do.
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. So Councillor Lubert's amendment speaking to the alternative is still on the floor. Further comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? That carries. The original recommendation as amended. Nothing further. All in favor? That carries as well. I will turn the chair back to His Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Becerro. And Mr. Cook, I would ask that you speak to the clerk, acting clerk, whoever, with respect to the advisability of I mean, we're now getting into council and committee meetings where we're pretty much dealing with all three of the areas. And it would make sense for us to have new business inquiries and status report on each of them rather than have some miss out. So perhaps, I don't know that there's anything etched in stone that says we can't do that, but if there is, maybe you could bring that to our attention.
Well, certainly.
That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Tomorrow evening at 5:30, we have a Communities in Bloom meeting in conference room 3.
Any others? Councillor Becerro.
Thank you, Worship. Just to highlight something that will be on our council agenda next weekend as a delegation, I'm excited that members of 337 Allen Trope Air Cadets Squadron will be before council to request freedom of the city, a ceremonial request that dates back many hundreds of years. I know we just did it for the sesquicentennial in Ridgeway, but excited that they're coming forward, and this will actually kick off a year of celebrations as they enter their 75th year in Fort Erie. So excited to have them here next week.
Any other meetings? I can say that Andrea Horvath will be in town tomorrow. She'll be doing a visit to the marina, to be updated on what's happening there, and I'll be sending something out to you folks to let you know about some recent activity there. And then she'll be going to the racetrack, and we'll be participating in a tour there and an update as to issues that we're having with the provincial government currently. And tomorrow is the last day of racing for this season at the Fort Erie Racetrack, so if you can make it out, please be there. And yes, and I believe that there's going to be some type of media coverage with respect to Andrea's visit here. Thank you for reminding me of that. Anything else I need to remember? Okay, if there are no other meetings to be referred to, Councillor Nutt, motion to adjourn? Ah, yes, yes. And I'm not going to say how old, but I understand that many years ago, on this very day, Mrs. McDermott gave birth to a bouncing baby boy, and we've all come to know and love him. Some I know refer to him as Uncle George. Others, I've heard others refer to you in different ways over the years. But on behalf of council and all of your constituents and all of the residents of the town of Fort Erie, we want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. Any other councillors wish to chime in?
Just from a personal note, a happy birthday. I never thought I'd live to see the day that you would live to see this day. So happy birthday.
Miracles still abound. Okay. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Council and Committee for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 7:17 p.m.
All those in favor? That is unanimous. Thank you.